The Volunteer Tutor Program.
Works low power FM. All right, so today, kind of a institutional investor show. There's a keystone with institutional investing, with the corporate oligarchical dominant paradigm, and that is institutional investing. So, and in honor of I got a short piece on that that I'm going to read a tiny bit of copy I'm going to read for you, and a little bit of a rant. And then in honor of the student protests, partially, I was going to play this anyway, to tell you the truth, but back in the 90s, the U of O had several of the student groups at the U of O here in Eugene, Oregon. One was the Human Rights Alliance, and they pushed the U of O to procure their stuff, their swag, without using slave labor and third world countries. So that's Human Rights Alliance. And SATA, the now defunct, apparently SATA, Student for Ethical Treatment of Animals, short piece on them. To show you that students have the most to gain and the least to lose, that I'm really happy about these student protests. It's really awesome. Although it remains to be seen whether anybody's going to pay attention to the unmitigated gall of some of our leaders. Okay, so, and then an exclusive here on KPW Talk is Cheap from our news silo. An exclusive, someone sent us sound from the Indian moon landing that is not available anywhere else. So that's a little treat for you at the end here. The moon landing. Okay, so coming up, corporate governance and the keystone in corporations that we need to exploit, and Human Rights Alliance and SATA. And as always, don't buy from multinational corporations if you can help it. Free Mordecai and Vanunu. Rooftop solar, rooftop solar. We need more rooftop solar, and stop cutting the trees. KEPW 97.3, Eugene Peaceworks. Independent Community Radio. Also simulcast on KEPW.org. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media. Radio for all. .net is where you can get podcasts of this show. Talk is cheap. Thanks for listening. All right, the show's Talk Is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti. All right, so and a little the disclaimer that I should do every week. None of the opinions on this show are that of the staff here or any of the producers or anyone affiliated in any way with KEPW 97.3 Eugene Peaceworks Low Power FM. They're mainly mine. So, and having said that, what I'm reading from is this is just a book. I'm kind of an armchair economist, okay? So this is not intended for investment advice. So this book I picked up when I was at the Goodwill or the St. Vincent de Paul. No, the Goodwill, sorry. And you can tell it was some textbook that's never been opened by somebody that got frustrated with their business management class. It's called Corporate Governance, Economic Management, and Financial Issues by Kevin Kesey, Steve Thompson, and Mike Wright. So this is, I'm just going to read you a couple of passages here, small stuff here from this. This is, Copyright Oxford Press. This is back in 1997. And what this is about is the England's institutional shareholders. And what the point I'm trying to make, and like I say, I'm taking this totally out of context. So I just admit you need to read the entire thing because corporations, they have fund managers. And these fund managers are all in competition with one another. So there's more to it than what I'm going to read you. The point that I'm trying to make, though, is there's a vulnerability there. This is why. Because they're looking for short-term gains instead of long-term gains. The boycotts are very effective because if you can show just even the slightest amount of movement in the stock price, it freaks everybody, all the shareholders out, and they start, they think it's a trend, and they're all looking for trends, and they start selling their stock. So this is why the boycotts are so effective, and the profit margins are so, because corporations are built on huge amount of volume, their profit margins are very small. So you can, it's very effective. The boycotts are very effective. And this is what freaked out Israel with the BDS movement. So, so what this is, and what I didn't realize myself to be, and like I say, you need to read this stuff yourself. Insurance companies are huge investors in the stock market. That's because think about it. When you pay your insurance money and they don't pay on the claims like they should, where do you think that money is? It's in the stock market. That's where they put it. They invest it with a fund manager. So, and because these institutional investors, including your city and your 401k and your pension fund, because they're looking at short-term gains instead of long-term gains, they're not. They have an opportunity to the shareholders. Some would say the shareholders of a company are its owners. So the owners have a right to tell the company how it can be run. And I'm not saying that they should run the company, but they could at least tell them to be socially responsible and stop investing in war, for instance, and stop investing in cutting down trees and start investing in renewable resources. So this is from. And this is about the UK, which is, it's the same across the board. It's the same in the UK, mostly. They're slightly different there. They have a few more regulations than we do. But it's mostly the same. So here we go. Institutional shareholders in the UK. Over the 1980s and the 1990s, individual equity ownership has continued to decrease in terms of the total percentage of equity owned from 54% to 54% in 1963 to less than 18% in 1993. The corollary to the declining proportion of total equity held by individual shareholders has been an increasing dominance of institutional shareholders. Financial institutions held approximately 62% of ordinary shares in 1993, this percentage having more than doubled since 1963. And of course, and this is 20 years old, so that trend, I can tell you, has continued. But please research this stuff. Use your own brain, please, and practice critical thinking. Don't take my word for it. All right, so it's continuing on, it's same paragraph, or next paragraph. The major growth in institutional shareholders is mainly the result of growth in pension funds and less significantly insurance funds, Both have grown as a result of the increase in private retirement savings in the form of occupational or private pension schemes and long-term life insurance or assurance, as personal pensions often take the form of investment plans operated by life insurance companies. A significant proportion of investment by life insurance companies represents pension funds. Okay, so moving on. So like I say, there's an opportunity for these companies to govern, to tell the corporations what to do. And you, as a investor, as a pension fund holder, have an opportunity to tell your pension fund what to do. So where... Sorry, folks. I had this all outlined for you. Okay. All right, so just a little bit more reading here. As shareholders, it is, however, the right of institutions to appoint directors, and it could be argued their moral duty to ensure that companies are governed in the interests of shareholders. However, whilst Hutton suggests that institutions have obligations as owners, it is not clear, certainly under company law, what those obligations are, if indeed they do have obligations as owners. Furthermore, as will be argued in detail in Section 4, all shareholders are faced with a potential free rider problem if, for example, an institution took costly action to intervene in company management while other institutions simply did nothing. The intervening institution would report lower returns to the detriment of its beneficiaries or shareholders, at least in the short term. If the intervening institution is a fund manager investing funds on behalf of external pension funds, given the increasing competition in fund management, the intervening manager is likely to lose clients. On the face of it, it is difficult to see what incentives there are for institutions to bear a private cost for public good. So what they're saying is... They're because they're looking for return on invest short term on investment, but that doesn't necessarily. So let me continue on here. The classic public good dilemma, therefore, arises in that because individual shareholders do not have the appropriate mix of incentives to become involved in the detailed governance of corporations, the emphasis is on short-term gains at the expense of long-term corporate performance. The different types of institutions may, however, have varying time frames for their investment portfolios. For example, pension funds, which should have a long-term perspective because of the nature of their business, are more likely to emphasize the importance of achieving long-term corporate performance. So what these guys are doing is they're selling stock, you know, monthly. Instead of the stock market tends to go up every year because of the nature of capitalism, that it keeps expanding. So long-term investors, if they spread, this is why there's been an increase in index funds. They spread their money across the entire market, and overall, even though it goes up and certain stocks go up and down, eventually they end up with more money in their pension funds to pay you your insurance claims and your insurance funds. And then one other disclaimer, I know ultra-liberals say that you're not, if you participate in a system, you're perpetuating that system. So I don't want to get into that because that could be a whole show. But what I'm saying is here's an opportunity to work myself. I use their own rules against them whenever I can. So here's an opportunity to use their own rules against them. Then we can talk about destroying the entire system and coming up with a new system. But here's an opportunity right now to get institutional investors to take a stand in corporations and not necessarily run the entire corporation, but at least tell them these certain areas where we want you to, these certain rules we want you to follow. So that's my spiel on corporate governance. And so now here's next, Human Rights Alliance actually did this with the U of O over here. They told the U of O, we don't want our school investing in third world sweatshops. And the campaign worked back in 97. So that's what you're going to hear, how students have won in the past, and they're hopefully going to win again. As well as SETA, which is Students for Ethical Treatment of Animals, which I don't know what happened to them. I think they've been absorbed by PETA. So that's coming up here on Tug is Cheap. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media. KEPW 97.3, Eugene Peace Works, Low Power FM.
And of course you can't loan to homebuyers that can't pay back the loan. But what they've been loaning to is corporations that then...
Change to winter.
Show's Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti, on KEPW 97.3 Eugene Peaceworks Community Radio, Low Power FM. Also simulcast on KEPW.org. And we've been doing some, I'm going to cut into Modern Mono just slightly because we've been doing a lot of climate stuff, so a lot of great, and we're trying to get a newscast going. So there's been some really great interviews going on that you can listen to at KEPW.org. And we've been playing those, so we're a little off on our scheduling here. So Modern Mono, don't forget to listen to his great punk rock show. I listened to it on my way home. And he plays some really great stuff at 5. So he's going to be on. I'm going to try and end a little early. He'll be at probably 5:10, 5:15. All right, so this is, if I can get it queued up here, Human Rights Alliance and SEDA. Here at the U of O. What this
testing,
is
testing Radio Free Cascadia 98.5.
Is I did this when I was at Radio Free Cascadia. This is a student group that got the U of O to stop buying from.
All right, I'm here with members of the Human Rights Alliance, and they're working on the corporate code of conduct issue. What is the Human Rights Alliance?
It's a group of students. That's a subsidy of the Survival Center here on campus, and we work on issues around the world about human rights violations and human rights awareness. And most recently, we're concentrating more on a corporate code of conduct for the university.
Okay, and so, and what is the corporate code of conduct for the university?
Well, basically, the corporate code of conduct would be. A set of standards, guidelines for the university in which they would have to follow of all the companies they do business with.
In other words, they wouldn't do business with companies that are exploitive.
Well, actually, it's the trademark licensees of the university. Anyone who makes an apparel product which has the university logo on it has to follow these standards and rules which the corporate code of conduct sets out, and it's set up to be an adherent against sweatshop labor, because most of the companies that make these things have factories in countries which have really low labor standards or a military regime which can keep labor movements from rising up. So this code isn't an attempt to get the corporations that we are working with to apply to some ethical human rights rules.
Okay, so this doesn't necessarily have to do with corporations that are doing that the university is doing research for. Okay, I wasn't going to touch on that anyway. Okay, and you're having an event on what is your event that you're having?
We're having a public forum on the 24th of May. That's basically going to be an educational forum for anyone who would like to come. It's at 7 o'clock, sometimes, at 100 Willamette. And basically, we're going to have an administration speaker, we're going to have a student speaker, and maybe two labor speakers to kind of touch on the issues of a corporate code of conduct, and also to discuss possible inflammation at the university.
All right, anything else you want to tell people?
I think it's really important that we get a lot of students there, not just to educate them on the issue, but to let the administration know that there are a lot of students who are concerned with university corporate relations and the effect we have on these workers, and to really have a student voice out there so the administration keeps that in mind and doesn't make any decisions too soon about anything.
Well, and in what way do students have power?
Well, as university students, we have a lot of effect. There's so much money coming into the university from different corporations, and these students, this is our university, and we have, if we speak up enough, we have enough control, and show the administration we have enough control that this is our university, and in turn we can affect, you know, whatever relations are going on here and have hopefully a positive effect on our local community and global community too.
Okay, so forum on corporate dominance, on the code of conduct for corporate dominance, or no?
All right, so this was recorded in the late 90s, one of the first, you know, when I was just starting, so I make a lot of mistakes. And this is an example of what students, how effective students can be, because these were very successful, fairly successful campaigns. And the next one is, they do mention some medical research that the U of O doesn't do medical research the same way, quite.
And just any animal that is used for human purposes has to endure. So, and we're just trying to inform people about the issues.
And you're
trying to make a point about the lives of animals in captivity.
At 7 o'clock.
All right, thank you, Human Rights Alliance people. Radio Free Cascadia, 98.5. Okay, I'm walking down 13th Street, and there's these students sitting in a cage here. Why are you sitting in a cage?
We're trying to make a point about the lives of animals in captivity, and just any animal that is used for human purposes has to endure. So, and we're just trying to inform people about the issues.
And you're with Students for Ethical Treatment of Animals?
Yes.
And how long have they been on campus?
Do you know, Lucas? I've only just joined them, so I don't know.
This is the fourth year that we've been doing this vigil, but I'm not sure. CETA's probably been around for 10 years or something, I'm not sure.
Okay, and what, you say that they're actually testing on animals on campus?
Yeah, just down the block they have thousands of animals in the basement of Hustis Hall. Most of them are zebrafish. There's three monkeys that have surgical steel caps implanted in their heads, and our Richard Morocco is doing tests with nicotine to try and find a cure for attention disorders. They have owls and hundreds of rats and mice and rabbits and lizards, and they even had chickens at one point.
And has animal testing ever given conclusive evidence, or has it ever worked for humans?
I think, I don't know the specific quotation, but Gandhi said something equivalent to, if there is something, some knowledge that can come of animal research, it's not anything that I would like to know, and I think that's pretty poignant. Animal research is, basically there are a lot of alternatives and things that are being used right now, just not in the quantity that it should be. For instance, prevention, a pharmaceutical industry or corporation can make a hell of a lot more money by testing a new drug on animals to get it approved by the FDA and selling it to the masses than they can by actually figuring out how people can change their lifestyles to not get these diseases in the first place.
Yeah, and more preventive medicine. What is there a specific corporation, especially that is, because my show deals with a lot with multinational corporations? Is there a specific corporation that is funding this research?
I think actually a lot of the research done here on campus is funded by tax dollars. In terms of corporations that fund and do testing, Procter & Gamble is the largest tester of consumer products, and then there's obviously all the pharmaceutical corporations like Pfizer and
Blacko Welcome. They're all, basically they make their money by using animal tests to basically as for liability purposes when they mass market toxic drugs to the masses.
So that they can say that it's been tested and that it's been found safe.
Yeah, that's basically how they protect themselves from getting sued if a drug doesn't do what it's supposed to do, or if it kills people or has terrible side effects, which they often do. Basically, they can refer back to the animal studies and say, well, we tested this on animals, and this is what it said, and that's what the FDA requires, and so basically it's just a matter of them covering their butts and being able to make money in that way.
And so it sounds like it's not necessarily to save human lives even, it's just to make sure you're not irritated by some cosmetic.
Absolutely. I mean, in terms of like product testing, I think we have plenty of oven cleaners and we don't need to be killing animals for that purpose. And in terms of the pharmaceutical companies, I think it's pretty obvious that they don't make money from people being healthy. If people are healthy, they're out of business, and they know that, and they don't want people to be healthy. They want to be able to market a drug to the masses.
Okay, anything else you want to say?
I would encourage people to educate themselves about animal rights issues and really be conscious of the decisions that they're making in terms of whether they're going to eat animals or not, or if they're going to support animal testing and buy products that are tested on animals, and just so they have the information, they're making a conscious choice and they know the effects that the choices that they make are having on animals and themselves and the world.
And how about a comment on what does it say in the Bible that man has dominion over the animals? What do you say to that?
The Bible also says man has dominion over woman. I think that excuse or that logic is, I think, one of many to kind of justify what we want to do, and as opposed to what we know we should do. Even if God says it's okay to eat animals, that doesn't excuse us from the responsibility to take our actions seriously and do what we think is morally acceptable.
All right, any events coming up? Any demonstrations?
There's going to be...
All right, these are some examples. That was Seda, who's now been absorbed by PETA, I think. These are examples from the 90s of successful student campaigns. Kind of in honor of the student protests that are going on right now. Students, you have a lot to gain and the least amount to lose by standing up. So, I don't know what the status of animal testing at the U of O is right now. So, but I believe it has improved because of those, partly because of those campaigns. All right, so, and like I say, these are examples, too, of, yes, we should tear down the system and get a new system, but the fact is you need to follow the money and pay attention to where your money is going, where your tax dollars are going, where your corporate, what these corporations are doing with their profits. And so it's a keystone in the corporate oligarchic system that we can use to tear it down is by paying attention, following the money. Because after all, money makes the world go round.
Money.
Money.
Money makes the world go around, the world go around, the world go around. Money makes the world go around, it makes the world go round.
A mark, a yen, a buck or a pound.
A mark, a yen, a buck or a pound
is all that makes the world go round. That clinking, clanking sound
can make the world go round. Money, 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 money.
If you happen to be rich and you feel like a nice entertainment, you can pay for a gay escapade. If you happen to be rich and alone and you need a companion, you can ring
ting-a-ling
for some mate. If you happen to be rich and you find you are left by your lover and you moan and you groan quite a lot, you can take it on the chin, call a cab and begin to recover on your 14-carat yacht.
What?
Money makes the world go round, the world go round, the world go round. Money makes us go round, of that we both are sure. On being poor.
Money, 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 money.
When you haven't any coal in your stove and you freeze in the winter and you curse to the wind that you fate. When you haven't any shoes on your feet, your coat's thin as paper and you look 30 pounds underweight. When you go to get a word of advice from the fat little pastor, he will tell you to love evermore. But when hunger comes to rap, rat-a-tat, rat-a-tat, at the window.
At the window.
Who's there?
Hunger.
Oh, hunger.
See how love flies out the door. Money makes the world go around, the world go around, the world. Money makes the world go around, the clinking, clanking sound of
money, 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 money. Get a little, money, 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 money. Mark a yen, a buck or a pound. The clinking, clanking, clunking sound is all that makes the world go round. It makes the world go round.
Talk is cheap. I'm your host, DJ SSD, here on KEPW 97.3, Eugene Peaceworks, Low Power FM. Stay tuned for Modern Mono about 5:10. And what I've got for you is an exclusive here from the Crank Team, our Crank News Team here from the KEPW News Silo. Someone sent us a tape of the Indian moon landing. So this is unheard stuff from the Indian moon landing. Exclusively here. Not going to be heard anywhere else. Because that's what we do here. Is we play you stuff that you're not going to hear anywhere else. So I hope you'll support us. And all independent media. Because it's the only place you're going to find the truth. Or any semblance of the truth. Or at least an alternative to the corporate perspective. So yeah, stay tuned to KEPW 97.3, Eugene Peaceworks, Low Power FM, simulcast on KEPW.org. Oops. Okay. Well, that's not working. That's too bad because that's a good... That was recorded at Alvin's in Detroit. Yeah. All right, so like I say, here's an exclusive here at KBW. Here's the some exclusive audio from the failed moon landing by India. Only available here at KBW.org. Stay tuned for Modern Mono at 5.
Earth calling Bugs Bunny. Earth calling Bugs Bunny. Are you there? Come in. Over.
Over. Where is everybody? Huh? Where is it? I'm alone. I'm alone on the moon. I'm alone on the moon. Well, anyway, I'm the first living creature to set foot on the moon.
FM UGK.